From the land to Grand Hugh University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of December, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. Gary Schnipke will have break-even prices for corn and soybeans for the 2022 growing season as of today. And we'll check the agricultural energies with Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn finished higher at $5.98 and a quarter today. That was up 7 and a quarter cents. May at $5.99 and a quarter, 7 and a quarter higher. And December futures at $5.55, up 5 and a quarter. January soybeans 15 and three quarters higher, $13.08 a bushel. The settlement price, the March at $13.12 and three quarters, up 18. And November soybeans at $12.54 and a half, 5 and three quarters higher. Bean meal futures at $3.94, up 7.80. The bean oil futures at $53.90. 96 cents higher. Wheat futures at $7.99 for the soft red, up 21 and a quarter in the March. The hard red at $8.41 and a half, 28 and a quarter higher. And oat futures were 4 and a half cents higher at $6.66 and three quarters of a cent. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract at $136.92 and a half cents. They were up 95 cents per 100 pounds. Feeders at $161.82 and a half, $1.32 and a half higher. And lean hogs on the day at $82.42 and a half cents, $2.95 higher. Crude oil futures at $71.30 a barrel, up $2.69. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.25 and a half, up 8 and 6 tenths of a cent per gallon. And the wholesale price of gasoline at $2.14 and 7 tenths, up 6 and 8 tenths of a cent. Gold futures down $6.50 at $1,788.10. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 35,319, about 500 points higher on the day. Wayne Nelson now joins us from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. It's a beautiful day outside and markets were up. I bet the farmers were happy as we get closer to the end of the year.
Well, you can tell when a person's smiling and they're talking to you. And they were smiling today when they called in and they said, hey, I think we're in a profit zone on a lot of these positions. Let's just take and bank some money before Christmas. And on this good run up here today, we were able to bank quite a bit of money. And I think it's somewhat the right thing to do with all the uncertainty out there, Todd.
Merry Christmas indeed. So only a couple of days left. This is interesting because the bulls had Thanksgiving. It kind of looks like they're still in control going into Christmas.
You know, that's a very unusual thing. And like I say, who knows? There could be a lot of craziness happen the last couple of days here. But, you know, for right now, you know, we got the weather concerns out of South America. We got the U.S. plains where the wheat, a lot of wheat was sort of blown out, and they're worried about how whether it'll make it through the winter and stuff like that. The Russian grain exports are down for the year. Cattle on feed reports looking for, you know, close to 199.8. Boy, that firming crude in the equities sure helped today to see his run on up a little bit. But the big report's going to be January 12th, and there's only 15 trading days left before that one.
Yeah. So are there any underpinnings at this moment, rumors within the marketplace about changes that might come in that report?
You know, all sorts of things flying around. The idea that, you know, we might cut back, or, you know, raise the carryout, do this, maybe change a few things around the way. But, you know, it's a lot of what ifs and whatnots. And today we're looking at good interior basis levels, lack of movement, and just a strong and a light trade, just a good strong close here today and a good trade, good strong trade all day. So we're just sort of happy to see some good things happening right here before Christmas.
Two more trading days for the rest of this week. The markets are closed on Friday. What are the expectations for the last 2 days of the week?
Well, you know, a lot of times we'll see something for a little bit of a setback or back and fill a little bit as we do some of this. But basically along the way, I think we're going to be watching the weather forecast pretty close and see if there is any announcements. Another thing that's going to be watching real close is to see how the world is, the COVID's affecting things. Are seeing this last strain being a little bit weaker and a little bit more controllable, not so bad, and it might not slow down the economy as much. But, you know, and we're going to start seeing the trade get even thinner the next 2 days, Todd.
Hey, thank you so much. Looking forward to talking with you for Commodity Week this week.
Yeah, that'll be fun too.
All right, that's Wayne Nelson. He is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Thank you, Gary, for being with us. You've penned an article for the Farm Doc Daily website. This one I think producers will be very interested in. You titled it 2022 Break-Even Prices for Corn and Soybeans. By break-even prices, what do you mean?
So we looked at what it would take to cover all cost, and that would include a non-land cost, fertilizer, seed, chemicals, pesticides, and power-related cost, and a cash rent on the average cash rent farm. So if you're looking at our break-evens, you're looking at something that would result in zero net income if all the land was cash rented. And we also subtract off what we expect to be crop insurance and commodity title payments this year, which are nothing. So but when we calculate our break even for 2022, we take that in consideration and then make comparisons to what those break even prices have been historically.
Well, and I see the numbers. They look fairly low compared to what the price of corn and soybeans are, but you make note that these are pretty high break even prices. What are they for corn and soybeans?
So for corn, we're looking at a $4.73 break-even price, $4.73, and that is so just to give you a feel, that's 73 cents higher. So our break-even price from 2013 to 2021 was $4. So, you know, we've seen a 73 cent increase in that, and as you said, we're above those prices right now, but $4.73 is a historically a pretty good price. So we are at that point where you're going, well, some things could happen in this world and we would have prices below $4.73, and then we would be looking at negative incomes.
Let's stay with corn. What are the projections that push that price so high?
So our prices, what's pushing that price so high are our record cost. We're projecting on an average cash rent acre that cost will be over $1,000 per acre. That's the first time we've seen that, over $1,000 per acre, and $1,064 is the exact number. But in any case, it's about $150 higher than last year's cost. So we're seeing sizable increases of cost at record levels, and that's what's driving these break-even prices higher.
Driven primarily by the input prices for fertilizer?
Fertilizer is a big one, obviously, and will be the cost category that has the largest increases, but the cost increases are across the board. Pesticides will increase. Machinery-related cost will increase. It costs more to buy everything, repairs and buying equipment costs more. The only category that we projected the decline in for this year was interest. And that's simply because we're not thinking that interest rates are declining, but farmers have cash flow that they'll probably need less operating notes this year. Having said that, we might be wrong in that because of the very high cost of putting out crops.
Can you summarize again, both for corn and soybeans, what you think the trend yields are going to be and what cost will be and how those move into the break-even prices?
So we're looking at, for corn, $1,064 in total cost, which would include an average cash rent of $309 per acre and $755 of other cost. We are using a trend yield of 225 bushels per acre. So that 225 bushels per acre is a trend yield. So most of the time we'll be above it. And then we have some of those years where we get way below it, like the 2012 drought year. But 225 is our expected yield. So we take 1,064 cost divided by 225. And to cover total cost, that results in that 473. Just to note, we are not projecting any commodity title payments for next year. And it would be very, very unlikely that we had those. The only federal aid that could exist is if we do see price declines, we could see some ad hoc federal assistance, but that is just pure speculation.
Yeah, I will make note that you put in that the total break-even price to cover total costs was the highest in 2012 at $6.75 a bushel. But that's because it costs so much to produce not that many bushels.
Yeah, 2012, we had much lower cost in that year, but we had a drought yield that was half of what we would expect, and that's why we had that high break-even cost. By the way, we do calculate it after crop insurance and other things, and the commodity title premiums that year, and the crop insurance really did reduce the break-even price that year, because if you consider those. So, yeah, that actually the drought year wasn't a bad income year on most farms because of crop insurance and relatively high prices, or what we would consider high prices till this year.
Do you have a number for crop insurance projected for this year yet?
No, for 2021, we will on average see something like $5 to $10 across Illinois. So it's not going to be large, but there will be some farms that get payments. As there is always the case, there's some areas that do suffer from some yield shortfall, and there will have to be yield shortfalls this year. But $5 to $10 for 2021, and then for 2022, we're projecting zero at this point in time.
And do you have a projection for premiums?
For premiums, are going to I don't have one officially, but they're up. I'll tell you.
And we'll get some officially in January from you, I suppose.
Yeah, we will. But don't expect that cost to go down.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You may read more from him on the break-even prices for corn and soybean production in the state online right now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's a day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Happy holidays to you, Don. Thank you for being with us today.
Happy holidays to you, too.
Speaking of that, Christmas isn't very far away. In my part of the world, Illinois and Indiana, what can we expect?
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to be a little bit humbug in terms of having it be a white Christmas is just not looking likely. It's going to be a white Christmas for some in the West, some in the North, some in the Great Lakes, and even up into New England. But the center part of the U.S., including the South, is going to be pretty mild as we head into Christmas weekend. And so Santa's going to need some wheels.
Well, I guess it depends on how you feel about that. I think I'm all right with Santa needing some wheels. Let's start in the Western United States and then talk about some of the weather we have been having. Most of it's been driven up out of the West, I think, and that has to do with what's been happening in the primary hard red winter wheat growing regions of Colorado and Kansas and some other places. How are they interconnected?
Well, I tell you, it's really a tale of two divides, because west of the Continental Divide, we are going to have some really wet weather for California, the Great Basin, and even the desert Southwest up in the Pacific Northwest. So the mountainous part of the West is going to be very wet and see some really beneficial and good moisture. But the pattern we're in is causing a west-to-east flow from the Pacific right across the western United States. But that westerly flow, once it comes off the Continental Divide, sinks. And as it sinks, the air gets warmer and drier. So there's a real dipole going on east of the Rockies in those hard winter wheat areas from basically the front range of the Rockies through Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and the eastern plains of Colorado, New Mexico, and into parts of the western areas of the Corn Belt. That sinking motion, that what we call a downsloping, is going to keep it drier and warmer than normal for another 7 to 10 days. So you're going to actually have areas not far from each other that are wet and then the polar opposite, depending on what side of the divide you're on.
Well, on the wet side, and depending on what side of the divide you're on, but I'm wondering whether it also depends on how far north you are. For instance, are we replenishing the snowpack in the northwestern part of, well, not the Corn Belt, but in the Dakotas, that feed into the Dakotas, so out of the Rocky Mountains
yes,
in that part of the world.
You know, that is one area that is going to get snowed on. You know, that's one area that is going to have a white Christmas. You go across the plains of eastern Montana through north and south Dakota up into Minnesota, and maybe even getting to north of Interstate 80, just a little bit north of I-80 in Nebraska and Iowa, there is going to be some snowfall, and there is going to be some Arctic air seeping into those areas. But there is a distinct area of dryness along and south of Interstate 80 through I-70, through I-40 into those areas. And unfortunately, we think that's going to be persistent at least through the last days of this year.
Persistence is always something that scares people. And persistence, the most difficult time for persistence is right now, actually, when we have the change of the season. So on this 21st, the shortest day of the year, persistence matters. The next time around, persistence will matter if it stays dry, is when we get to the month of March. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's a Tuesday afternoon. We always check the agricultural energies once a week. We're joined by Dave Chatterton from Strategic Farm Marketing today. Good afternoon to you, Dave. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Good afternoon. Merry Christmas to everyone out there.
I hope you have a good holiday week. We'll talk with you in another month about what's happening in the agricultural energies, but I would like you to recap what crude oil has done in the last month and whether that matters very much.
Well, I think it always matters, Todd. I mean, crude oil, of course, is the basis for what we see for, you know, for diesel fuel pricing here as it relates to specifically to an ag operation, but also gasoline and a number of other different, you know, commodities that we use and grease and just everything, you know, around the farm. So it's been an interesting month. If you look at what's happened here, we all know what happened the day after Thanksgiving and the big, you know, macro market sell off. The crude market tried to recover from that, but generally we've been in a downtrend. And if you look at the lows that we had from yesterday, you've actually completed about a 25%, you know, decline from the highs that we had back in October in crude. We're back today, just, you know, with a strong rally, just above that $71 mark for lead month crude. And that puts lead month diesel fuel at about $225 on the board. So, you know, we've made a strong recovery here. We've seen that, you know, follow the outside markets here. We've got the Dow up about 550 as we're talking right now and kind of erasing, you know, yesterday was a day where we had a very spike low. The market came back, closed a lot of those losses up by the close of the markets. And then we've erased those losses for the most part today, kind of right back where we started. And COVID, of course, is the variant or the variable here that's causing a lot of this volatility and variability. We've got, you know, OPEC out there. We've got the Russia situation and some other things going on. But in general, it looks to be a market that wants to stay volatile here and probably stay well supported.
Yeah, volatility can be a friend, unless, of course, margin money is involved and you don't have enough of it. However, I'm wondering if there's something that the producers should consider in this process, if that's standing aside of the marketplace. They don't generally aren't playing in the crude, of course, or whether they should be thinking about their needs for the spring and whether this market has enough volatility that it might run higher, whether you think there is a break in the offing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's certainly some wild, when we look at the long-term pricing picture, Todd, there's certainly some wild cards that we can't account for. And I mean, COVID is one of those, government policy and the Fed and things that could certainly derail or upset the apple cart. But I think the general outlook as far as the fundamental side of the oil market, supply and demand related, is that supplies are relatively tight here and the price risk is probably to the upside. We're just now starting our winter here in the Northern Hemisphere. And should that turn out to be a cold winter in either Europe or the U.S., we're going to have a situation that's going to get pretty ugly pretty quickly. So farmers typically have some storage on farm. If not, you have the ability to, and even if you do, you have the ability to contract forward fuel typically from your supplier. Those are things that you need to be looking at. It doesn't mean you need to panic and rush out and do that today, but I think when we get this holiday volatility, if you want to call it that, and on the down days, it's a good day to be talking to your supplier and either topping off your tanks or looking at what you can do, much similar to what I think producers have been actively doing around, you know, around their production costs and fertilizer and in seed and in chemical, etc., going into 2022. I think fuel isn't just, you know, it might be the smaller part of that component cost wise but it's something that you can manage and be active in looking at, and I think you should be, Todd.
You mentioned winter months and use heating oil and diesel diesel fuel are related products, actually very related products, and heating oil used in the eastern part of the United States as a primary heating fuel for homes, I suppose.
Yeah, and so the contract that we have on the board today is actually a ULSD or an ultra low sulfur diesel contract. So it's not it is actually a diesel fuel or a road diesel type of a contract. It's not red diesel, but you know, that's a tax or a variable that's going to stay constant and not, you know, move up and down with prices. So it's a very good proxy. We have a very good correlation between the movement in that ULSD, you know, futures contract and what we see for cash prices here in the Midwest or here in central Illinois. And a matter of fact, it's 95% plus on a long-term basis. So the movement up or down, I mean, we have to take into account transportation costs, profit margins, taxes, and all the things that go into your final delivered price or picked up price for the farm. But in terms of moving it up and down, it is a very good gauge of where we're at. And if you look at heating oil right now, as I said, we're at about 225. The low that we've had in the heating oil, we spiked down here back in you know, early December, was just at about $2. We're about 25 cents a gallon off of that spike low. But you're more than, you know, the highs that we had back in October were above 260. So you can kind of get a feel for the range of the upside downside price risk there that we're talking about. So on a day where you see the market maybe down a nickel or it's been down a dime over a couple of days, a good day to, like I said, be talking to your supplier and I think be thinking about what pencils for your farm.
That would be on the input side for the farm, purchasing diesel fuel for use on the farm, particularly in the spring months at this point. The opposite end of that is the production of ethanol from corn. I'm wondering how ethanol producers are moving through the holiday season. Are they still very profitable?
Not quite to the degree that we saw. I mean, in terms of profits, I mean, historically, these are still good numbers. In comparison to where we were earlier in the year, we certainly have backed off just a little bit, particularly in the heart of the Midwest. And that's as some of the inverse has kind of bled out of this nearby ethanol market. But in doing so, I think the outlook here, when we put the numbers against the USDA projections and kind of play them forward, Todd, I don't think we're very far either direction from where the USDA has us pegged. In other words, we're pretty much right on pace to hit their projection. Ethanol demand and domestic demand in general has been pretty solid here. We've had a little bit more of an up and down and a volatile play from the corn side on the export side. But I think in terms of ethanol, we look for the outlook to continue to be strong. We're looking for a Biden announcement this afternoon that it doesn't look like it's going to contain any travel restrictions or any kind of shutdowns. And I think that bodes well for gasoline demand here domestically, internationally. And I think we see a similar story where there are parts of Europe that are going back and maybe parts of China that are going to have some restrictions. But overall, I think the demand profile stays pretty firm here.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Dave Chatterton. He is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.